Moncrief on News Talk.
There's a new play running in London called Giant. It's about Roald Dahl and how he was nakedly anti-Semitic. But can you separate a person's abhorrent views or actions from the art they have produced? And are we all, at times, a little bit hypocritical about it? Deirdre Malumbi has been thinking about this. Afternoon, Deirdre.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you keeping?
Now, this play is really more about Roald Dahl's an interview he gave in the New Statesman, particularly, where he kind of basically said that there's a reason why Hitler picked on the Jews, or, you know, words to that effect, is like appalling stuff. But would you see evidence of that in his writing at all?
I mean, it's funny. I think that Roald Dahl has kind of become associated with having these kind of anti-Semitic tendencies in his writing, I suppose. Last year, for example, Puffin actually had some of his books rewritten to remove some of the offensive language. There was just like quite a bit of like stereotyping, I suppose, and stuff in that. But I mean, you would also see that if you look kind of more closely at the likes of like Disney early, some of the classic movies there, which would also be kind of mostly consumed by children. There are those kind of trends there, which I think at this point in time, it's probably better to confront them front on and actually talk about the fact that these stereotypes do exist in those texts rather than, you know, sweeping them under the carpet or pretending that they don't exist or just removing or censoring them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you'd be more in favor of altering these works where these things appear rather than it's all over for them. We're just not going to read this stuff anymore.
No, I wouldn't say that I'd want to alter it, but I would want to kind of have a conversation about the fact that there are these stereotypes. There's kind of, you know, anti-Semitism, there's racism in all kinds of artworks and media pieces. I think it's better to kind of bring those issues to the forefront, like Disney, for example, and people were kind of like giving out about it at the time. But now when you go on Disney Plus to a number of like the classical movies, like, for example, if you play Dumbo now, there'll be a little warning when you start the movie that there are going to be, you know, some stereotypes in those films that people may find offensive. So I think it's better to kind of bring those to the forefront. And I think that Giant is trying to do that. Like from what I've seen of theatre reviews, obviously I haven't seen the play myself, but what a lot of the theatre critics are saying that it's good that texts like these are like challenging the audience. And it kind of makes me think of, I don't know if you remember on Netflix a few years ago, they released a number of Roald Dahl short films. They were made by Wes Anderson. And one of the films in particular always stands out to me, Poison, because that actually includes this racist confrontation. So I think that what Wes Anderson was trying to do through those works was saying, like, there are problematic themes in the works of Roald Dahl, and rather than, you know, rewriting or censoring these or ignoring the fact that they exist, let's bring these to the fore and actually talk about the fact that they exist so that we can do better in the future.
Mm. Now, if I suppose there's one thing when it's in the work, but if it's not in the work, but the artist, whether it's a musician or a writer or whatever, is just an appalling person or has done appalling things, is that different?
I think so. I think it's very difficult. And I think that music is a really good example of this. Like the likes of Kanye West, Chris Brown and Michael Jackson obviously have a lot of kind of, you know, problematic associations with them now. But I think that a lot of people still really like their music. And if those songs come on and you're a fan of that artist, I think most people are just going to let those songs like play through rather than, you know, kind of being conscientious about it and skip and hitting skip when it comes on the playlist. I think something like movies and books are probably like easier to avoid. Like if you don't want your children to read Roald Dahl, you don't have to buy them Roald Dahl books. Mm. It's very easy. There are plenty of, you know, contemporary children's authors that you can give them the books by. Movies, for example, like those by Woody Allen and Roman Polanski, they're ones that I avoid personally because I can't make that dissociation of the art from the artist. They just kind of both give me the ick. So, I mean, I've tried to sit down and watch Chinatown. I don't know how many times. I've never actually seen it, but I actually can't because Roman Polanski just, like, gives me the shivers. I just can't.
Yeah. And well, an interesting thing, Deirdre, like the reaction. Yeah. But say particularly the reaction against Woody Allen. Mm-hmm. His films have just disappeared now. And
they really have.
And so the reaction to him has been much more definitive than maybe it has been to Roald Dahl. Or why is that? I mean, how can we kind of rate appallingness amongst different people? But his sin seems to have been much greater in the eyes of people.
I think that people do have a tendency to like pick and choose which art and which artist that they're going to engage with. And it's funny, actually, you compare someone like Woody Allen to Roald Dahl, and like J.K. Rowling would be someone else that like kind of comes to mind here, for example. I think the reason for that is that you can't underestimate the power of nostalgia. So if you have someone who like was watching this, you know, movie or series when they were young, and they have these associations of it, something that gave them like, you know, great joy and comfort when they were a child or a young person, I think people become much more instantly like on the defense about it. Whereas Woody Allen obviously kind of deals with like more kind of mature subject matter, like sex and relationships and stuff like that. But when it comes to like Roald Dahl and J.K. Rowling, everyone just remembers these like magical worlds that they created. And as a result, they tend to be like a bit more forgiving of them. And I think that J.K. Rowling also is an example of where the franchise has become so much bigger than the author behind it. I mean, like, look at the fact that, you know, all the movies are still absolutely beloved. Maggie Smith tragically died last week, and everyone was talking about her amazing performance as Professor McGonagall in those movies. There's still the upcoming series. Like, Warner Brothers is still absolutely making a bank on that franchise, even though J.K. Rowling, you know, she didn't just write the book. She was heavily involved in the movies and in a number of the productions over the years. And yet people still watch Harry Potter, and it's such a beloved series of movies and franchise for so many people.
But you could also say that, you know, whatever one's views about trans issues or not, there's none of that in her work, or you'd be hard pressed to find any of it in her work.
Yeah, that's also true. And I think that that's why it's interesting why now we're seeing like, you know, plays like Giant that actually bring these kind of issues to the forefront. Because you're right, like if anything, you know, Harry Potter was kind of before J.K. Rowling came out with all of these, points of view. People were seeing it as like a trans positive text, you know, that if the fact that it was about like someone feeling a little bit out of place and then finding their tribe. You know, like I know the LGBTQ community, for example, like really kind of related to those kind of themes that were inherent in the Harry Potter text. And then when she came out with all these views, it was a bit like, hang on a second, that's how you actually feel about it. It's a funny one. I think that at the end of the day, people like it is a very personal thing. And I don't think that people have come down one side or the other with regards to can you separate art from the artist. But then you do have, you know, as with anything, you'll always have like the extremist views with the people who are like, no, you absolutely can separate the two, and others who say, no, you absolutely can't. And we should be like boycotting these artists.
It might be not just nostalgia, might be how much you like Michael Jackson. You know, like the comparison, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, you know, people still listen to one, but not to the other. It could be just based on their body of work that it's too important to ignore.
Yeah, and I suppose it's also kind of people do put, I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but they almost have like kind of a morality scale with what kind of bad behavior that they are or aren't going to accept before they kind of engage by like listening to someone's music or reading those books and everything. And that kind of level is, it's just so different from person to person that it's impossible to say, no, you should be doing this, no, you should be doing that. Johnny Depp is kind of another interesting example in this regards, because he's kind of starting to get something of a career comeback at the moment. He would have starred in Jeanne du Barry, which did get like kind of an international release. I don't know if it did super, super well, but that was a French-Belgium co-production. And he's actually due to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Rome Film Festival that'll be happening in late October. So that's kind of an interesting trend whereby, like, I suppose on the European side, he's kind of, you know, all is forgiven, you know, welcomed with open arms and everything. Whereas, like, you know, with Hollywood and America and stuff, he's kind of, I suppose, testing the water in those kind of territories who I suppose would be associated with, like, kind of, you know, being like very liberal as opposed to like maybe having those extremist like black and white views, which you would definitely get in politics in America before kind of making his way over there and doing kind of the big career Hollywood comeback, you know?
Yeah, we shall see. Deirdre Malumbi, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.